Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place right here where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Hello, brains, and welcome back to another episode of On the Edge with April Mahoney. We're coming to you from Australia and San Diego. We have our guest today, Elizabeth Gray. She wrote a very interesting book that we're going to talk about. It's an Amazon bestseller. It's called Silent No More: Healing from Workplace Bullying. Who in the world bullies in the workplace? A bully. She turned from accountant to artist. She is now doing poetry, writing books, living her life, and consulting and working with others over to get over the traumatic events of being a workplace victim of bullying, which I think is just awful. So we're going to talk to her about that and life in Australia and a whole lot more. Let's welcome her to the edge. How are you, Elizabeth Gray?
I'm good. Thank you very much, April. It's lovely to connect with you on the other in San Diego.
I know. Other side of the world. I've been to Australia. Now, where are you at? What part of Australia are you in again?
I'm in Brisbane, which is the capital of the state of Queensland, which is north of Sydney.
I hear that Brisbane is pretty highbrow. I hear it's pretty pretty there.
Yeah, it's very pretty, and we've got so many beaches around in the Sunshine Coast and the Gold Coast as well. So it's a really good spot to be in this southeastern part of Queensland.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much Queensland is like Sydney in relationship to a big metropolitan city, but I came to Sydney and it was very beautiful. It reminded me a lot of my home, which is San Diego. A lot of beaches around here too. I love living in that sunshine. Have you ever lived anywhere that it was cold weather where it snowed? It doesn't snow in Australia, does it?
It does in certain parts of Australia. Really? Not where I live. I also lived in the UK for about 6 months, so but mainly
it's cold there.
Yes. It's a lot different. Queensland's a lot warmer state than some of the other states in Australia. So, yeah.
What's the difference between living in the UK and Australia? What'd you find?
Oh, it's different things. There's a lot more people, although it must be Australia has grown in population. I think I appreciated the really old buildings there because, you know, we're only like 200 odd years old. Yeah, we've got old buildings, but when you're going into like England and London, Scotland, you know, you've got buildings thousands of years old. So I really appreciated all the old architecture and the art.
I know. It's good because you are a creative. You are an artist. Tell us a little bit about your story, your journey, and your truth, and how you arrived, you know, and was released from workplace bullying.
Been bullied my whole life, and I really accepted that as normal, because you don't know, because people keep telling you you're not good enough or there's something wrong with you, and you don't realize that, and you take that forward with you, and you're also quite often giving and a forgiver, and when people do things you just forgive them and move on, but you don't realize what damage it is. And when you've got people that want to bully you, they actually want to control you. And they want you to feel less about yourself. And I went through a number of incidences, and I just got to the end. I just had to stop and have a look at what was going on. And for me, one of the things is knowing that I was probably, because of my giving nature, an empathetic nature, I was attracting people with like narcissistic behavior who are very much takers. They just want to take, they want to control. So I was setting myself up for really good, bad relationships. And yes, I bear some responsibility, but so does the person that's bullying. The perpetrator's got to take responsibility there for their behavior.
Yeah, and they got to take the one too.
Yeah, yeah. And quite often everyone just blames a victim. And, you know, when what often not is held is account is the perpetrator. And often I find in companies with workplace bullying, there is always a trail.
But you know what? It's everywhere you go, there is a bully. Like you said, it started at adolescence.
Yep.
You know, it gets worse in high school or whatever. It's super bad in this day of the internet because people have that keyboard courage. They will just type or say anything and think that there is no repercussion and no responsibility for their actions, which is wrong. And again, it deflates a person's personality. It makes you feel small. I don't really know how to get over it. I don't know. I had a situation where I was bullied as a child one time, but my mother pulled the car over and made me get out and attack and face the bully. And after that, I never had that problem again. It gave me an injection of courage. What would you tell 15-year-old Elizabeth Gray now about being a victim to bullies? What would you tell her to do?
I would think, know that she is worthy, she's loved, she's enough. And quite often what these people are doing is out of jealousy. They're acting out of jealousy. So they're actually jealous of you, but they want to put you down and feel superior. So it's also around putting, knowing that, but around having boundaries. Putting around boundaries and go, look, I'm not going to accept that behavior from you, and walk away. And I think it's important that we hold our boundaries around ourselves, that we don't accept that behavior from other people.
But sometimes it's not just walking away. Sometimes you walk away and, like you say, you have something built in into your psyche now that you start to draw those individuals towards you. So we also have to edit our personality, either get stronger, understand a different strategy, have a different perspective, talk with, you know, counselors, read a good book, or even, like I said, address the bully. But it's hard in the workplace because you got to go and that bully could be your boss. And 9 times out of 10, it's the boss. They feel like they have so much control because, you know, they write your evaluations, they write your schedule, and they determine your raise. But brains, let me tell you, the bully falls. I have worked with a bunch of bullies and come in one day and that bully has been, you know, terminated because it's a pattern with them. Hurt people, hurt people. Do you notice that, Elizabeth?
Yeah, it is. It's people coming from their own hurts that need to put it out. And yes, it is about, you know, saying to the bully that that behavior is not acceptable. And sometimes they will use their power to reframe you. I've had incidences where anything I've said was treated as trivial and not important. So there's a method in the way they're doing in portraying you. And I think just having your value and knowing your value and knowing what the game they're playing is to make you feel what they think about you, and just knowing that that's their stuff and it's not yours, and it's not yours to take on. And I think that's the most important thing to know. It's their behavior, it's not.
And they set you up for failure, you know, or they steal and copy your ideas, or they minimize the input that you have, your value, or they just do, you know, all kinds of stuff, strategic stuff. Because they can't put their hands on you. You know, when you're in elementary school, they'll push up against the locker and take your lunch money. But when you are in the workplace, and it depends, if it's male dominated and you're a female, you feel that you're being objectified and that there is a monogamy. I can't even say the word. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Male dominated personality, misogyny. That is going on in the workplace. You don't feel that you have anyone to go to. What were some of the challenges that, you know, that you face in a workplace environment?
Well, I think the pure power of someone that's a manager that's able to tell their higher ups what they think of you and your performance, and that may not be true. If you're being bullied, your performance goes down, your sick leave goes up. There's a whole lot of things that happen, but they reframe you as possibly the bad employee. There's something wrong with her. She misunderstood. All these sorts of things, and it's very hard to stand up and reframe. And like, it really depends on how good your organisation with your human resources department of what they say. And usually, if bullying's tolerated higher up, it's tolerated throughout the company.
Well, and they don't want to take ownership to that. They don't want to say, oh, this is a hostile environment that you're working in. You know, you had a high profile job. You had to be focused because you were running the numbers for an organization. You got to dot your I's and cross your T's. It got to the point where you just said, you know, heck with this noise. I'm out. On that day, what was your realization?
It was realizing that I felt no support from the company, no support, well, from that person. And it was like, I'm one of the persons, you go in a meeting and you try and resolve it. It's very hard to resolve an issue when the other person's not interested in resolving the issue. They don't see an issue. They see you as the issue. They don't see that there's something, the communication's not good, the relationship's good. They don't see that. They just see that I'm in charge of you and you need to do what you're told. And it's very hard to actually resolve that when people aren't willing.
Does this kind of behavior affect every aspect of an individual's life, their relationship with their partner, with their family, with their kids? Does it grain on them that much?
Well, I think not in that situation with the husband and kids, but, you know, with friends, they don't want to listen to what you've got to say. Some do, some don't. It's, oh, we've heard that before, you know, move on, let it go. But they don't realize a lot of the people that bullying actually alters chemicals in our brain.
Yeah, it does a lot to your mental, your psyche. And like you said, it does. It changes the chemical in your brain. It's not right. So let's talk about your book. You said, the heck with this noise, I'm going to write a book about it.
Yeah.
Silent No More, Healing from Workplace Bullying. Brains, she's got a template here, okay? And these suggestions inside of this book not only serve to adults, but it can help give some strategies on how dealing with partners, dealing with bullies, and also some suggestions that you can work with your kids, because it's really bad in school. And like I said, with this internet trolling, all this other kind of stuff, people can just go crazy. So you're also a poet. So you've written about your experiences. Tell me a little bit about your poetry, Elizabeth.
Well, I started, I did a small course, and then it was to write a poem, and I just wrote what I felt about what had happened at work. And I just felt like it started to free me up writing those experiences and releasing our emotions. And quite often we don't express our emotions when we go through trauma. So this, I found a very powerful way to express my emotions and release some of that anger of what I felt over the situation. So I find it really great to just be able to do that.
It is, and it is a creative outlet. And that's what I tell people too. You can explore that with paints, with music, with writing, with drawing, going out, being a photographer. You capture something that's deeper inside your soul, and that artistic freedom allows you to bring it forward. Would you please give us a reading? We'd love to hear one of your poems.
Oh, thank you. I'll start with this poem that I wrote, which leads into a bit of the title of the book, and it's called Silent No More. The birds can sing with their voice, but I'm told to be silent. A baby cries when hungry or in discomfort, but I'm told to be silent. A whale can sing a song meters below the ocean, but I'm told to be silent. Other people can talk and sing, but I'm told to be silent. Noise can be everywhere, but I'm told to be silent. Why won't you see me? Why won't you hear me? Why don't you want to understand me? I'm about to explode. Why did you decide I'm irrelevant? Why did you decide I don't matter? Why do you decide you had control over me? Why did you decide you were more important than me? But I have a small voice getting louder and louder. I matter. I'm a gift from God, and God does not make mistakes. I won't be silent anymore. To be silent means I'll be sick and unhealthy. No, not anymore. I will not be silent. I'm allowed to express my thoughts and feelings. Why do you think that is irrelevant? I'm allowed to be me, and you don't define me, my voice, thoughts, or feelings. I matter. I choose me.
You choose a winner. That's yes. Very powerful. That's very powerful. And again, you lined it up and told everybody, you, the third person or the second person in the room, think that you have the ultimate decision over my life and validating me. Self-esteem is something hard for people to resonate with because some people consider it as conceit or arrogance, but it takes a lot of work to feel confident about yourself. To look in the mirror and say, you know what? I am enough and I can do this. Where are you in that space right now, Elizabeth? Can you take on the world?
Yeah, I'm getting there. I think a lot of it too is just I've learned to really like love myself and, you know, accepting myself worthy, because when you've had all that messages, it's really hard to counteract. And I think part of it is we were created by God, and I think we've got to go back to that creation. No one else gets to define that creation but God. So, and I think we've got to remember that.
So let's play a round of quick questions. I love that. So I'm going to just throw out some random questions and you tell me what comes to mind, okay? Fun. What is something fun for you to do?
Oh, I like going on adventures, going somewhere new. Just went yesterday, the Vincent van Gogh Live, which is animation and all these photo art, his paintings on like about 20 screens. And that was just, it was a beautiful, fun thing to do. So
I bet. What are three things that you just can't live without?
Nature. Can't live without nature. I can't live without books because I love writing. And probably friends and family. Can't live without.
What's your favorite color?
Purple.
Why?
Why not? I've just always loved purple. I don't know how people you come to have a favorite color, but
somehow. It is, but you know, purple and colors tell a lot about people's personality. You know that it's regal, it's rich. You know, it comes in a barrage of, you dilute it with a little bit of water and you get everything from pink all the way to deep purple. So I get that. If you were on an island, stranded, what would be three things that you'd have to have?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd like someone to talk to on the island. It would be really nice. I think it would be a bit lonely. I'm assuming food and water's there. Yeah, some books, and I could probably create my own art materials there. Some music as well.
Music? Oh. So you got a whole vibe. You got a whole thing that's going on right there. What's the best part about living in Australia? What do you love about that?
I think we're very, very lot of easygoing people. I like it's a little bit laid back lifestyle. Yeah. And yeah, like that.
Except for the bullies.
Yes, except for the bullies.
Except for the bullies. Yeah. So if you had a conversation with a bully, right now, what would you say to the bully about becoming a better person?
I would actually ask them, what trauma have you had in childhood and what have you gone through?
Right.
Because usually that's where it comes from. They've gone through trauma as a child and they develop a different persona or whatever. Also, I know things that I feel other bullies have happened. They've had a lack of control as a child. So they've got to put in control mechanisms to control things. And it's about letting go of control as well.
Exactly. And also facing their own fears.
Yes.
So it's not just control, but, you know, what are they afraid of? What are they afraid will be uncovered and discovered about who they are and their personality? Are they afraid to change? You know, some people are stuck in their ways. Narcissistic people, a lot of people think that they can't change, but I think that they can change. I think it's a sense of awareness. And when something happens to them, they have an opportunity to reflect back on, you know, what's happened and make adjustments to edit and filter in their life.
Well, what you say with that was someone told me, like, two people are brought together to learn lessons from each other. And for me, like, brought with a bully to learn lessons. And I think I've got my lessons now. And I just think it's sad that the bully hasn't learned from the experience of someone coming up and going, you know, no.
If you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be and why?
I don't know. I've always liked giraffes.
Really?
Yeah, they're so tall. And have that overview of everything. And I love their langly long legs. And
they seem like they're good parents too, you know, because they travel in packs and they always seem to be so nurturing. You know what kind of animal I would be?
What's that?
A party animal.
I love that, yes.
I would do that, absolutely. So I'm a poet as well. And I started writing poetry because I had a learning disability growing up. And words gave me power. Finding the rhyme, finding the reason, putting them together. What is your writing process? You know, you're a writer. Where do you go? What do you do? What's in your mind when you sit down with pen and paper?
I really just feel like what's in my heart on that moment. I probably don't go into rhyming and those sorts of poems. I just really release what I'm thinking of that time, and it just... And I don't worry about it, and I just let it flow. So,
right. Yeah. And that's what people do. You know, they think that there's a certain process. Sometimes there is. And sometimes you gain inspiration from a walk on the beach or, you know, sometimes a great conversation with a friend. So all those things are important. Let's talk about food. What's your favorite food?
Oh, chocolate. We call that a food. Yes.
Yeah, so white chocolate, dark chocolate, or milk chocolate?
Well, I've actually got, I don't know if you're aware, there's another variety from a different cocoa bean called ruby chocolate. And ruby it comes chocolate. Out as a beautiful pink colour. And that's just got a really nice taste in that. It's rather expensive, but it's just, it's only been out since 2017. So it's...
Yeah, where do I get some?
I don't know. Do a bit of research. Ruby chocolate. I'm sure there'll be
ruby
somewhere.
Ruby chocolate. Okay. Yes. And it's a pink color.
Yes.
I know. You know, Black folks are going to be mad. They say they took white chocolate. Now they're taking it in the pink chocolate. We tend to be territorial as a community. As a community there, you know, a lot of people get bullied by the color of their skin.
Yeah,
we don't have any control over that. As you said, that's how God made us. And people feel less than, and they feel inferior. What would you say to that person that, you know, can't control the reason that they're being bullied? How can you tell them to stand strong?
Well, I think it's coming back to their own self-worth. And I think it's one thing I've learned is someone else doesn't have the right to define me or decide that about me. And I think it's important to, you know, like, keep our own power with it. And I quite often look and think they've got something, whatever their perception is or whatever their belief is for that. And it doesn't make it right, but quite often it is jealousy of somebody. Yeah. And it's not right to, this is what I find. Bullies have got to put people down to feel better than themselves. And to me, there's no one better. There's no one worse. We're all the same. We're all created. We all want the same things. We want a happy life. We want a good family. We want an income. We all want the same things.
Mm-hmm. And in a workplace, here's some suggestions for HR people around the world that I have found very valuable. Do surveys. actually do surveys of your employees so that you can get a realistic snapshot of what's going on in your work environment. How are people feeling? Because that affects the bottom line, your productivity, the growth and development of the work environment, stress, alcoholism, drugs, benefits, all of that. Have some team builders. Get people together outside of the work environment to do some exercises outside. Conduct your meetings outside. Change that environment. If there's two people that don't get along, partner them on a project. Because once you get to know the inside of a person, the outer shell is irrelevant. You touch into their heart. And acknowledge and admonish those that are making the workplace difficult. Again, it costs in productivity, a lot of those things. And pick up a great book, Silent No More, Healing from Workplace Bullying by Elizabeth Gray. This is a great thing that you should give all of your employees in their holiday gift bag so that they go home and they think about it. They can process this with their family. They can process it with their personal life. They can grow, develop, and be a much better person. Maybe they'll learn to write poetry. Thank you so much for being here with us on the Edge, Elizabeth Gray. You have been a wealth of information. I love to see that smile. Tell my brains how they can get in contact with you and purchase a copy of your book.
Well, the book's currently available on Amazon, and my Instagram account is LIZZZG4.
Wow. And,
yeah.
That's great. That is great. Brains, you know, don't pick on people. It's so unattractive. You know, because it doesn't make you superior. It makes you inferior because folks talk about you. They don't like you. They don't invite you out to engage with them. They're not going to read you any poetry. They're not going to do nothing for you. You're not going to have any friends. And friends are important. I'm glad that you're a friend to the show. Thank you so much, Elizabeth Gray. Come back. Let us know what's going on and to read some more poetry for us in the month of April, National Poetry Month. But until then, We thank you, we honor you, and we're glad that you're in a good space right now.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
All right, brains, get it together.